Ring out the bells for Christmas!
Merry Christmas, everybody! Thank you for listening to the FlixWise podcast. No, this isn't a drunken Mickey Mouse emanating from your speakers. Tis I, your host and pumpkin queen, Lady P. No relation to Master P. Now, as I'm sure you're all aware, this is the time of year where Americans gather from all across the land to begrudgingly gather with family members. So naturally joining me today is my brother, Mr. Ookie Boogie himself, Mr. Gary Lampert.
Nice work, Bone Daddy.
On today's episode, we're commemorating the winter solstice with a listener submission to the FlixWise Favorites list. Movie fan and professional animator Alex Keller is in the house to bring us a little Yuletide cheer and to tell us why he thinks Nightmare Before Christmas is the best Christmas movie of all time. Oingo Boingo fans, rejoice! And without further ado, Alex, take it away!
All right. Well, Nightmare Before Christmas is a 1993 stop-motion animated film conceived and produced by Tim Burton and directed by Henry Selick. The story is about Jack Skellington, the de facto leader of Halloween Town, who has become disillusioned with his holiday and seeks something different. Wandering the forest, he stumbles upon a portal which brings him to the magical land of Christmas Town. Enthralled with this discovery, Jack and the townsfolk decide to kidnap Santa Claus and make Christmas their own. Musical hijinks ensue.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up, yeah. Okay, so what about this movie really makes it the cream of the crop as far as Christmas movies go?
Well, it's kind of a hard thing. I mean, looking at the Sight and Sound Top 250, I noticed there was only three animated films.
Okay, do you remember what they are?
I think in order from top to bottom, it was Totoro, WALL-E, and Spirited Away. Yeah. And looking at that, I thought there needed to be at least three times that many films.
Okay, fair
enough.
In
terms of animation.
Yeah.
And so for Christmas movies, my favorite Christmas movie is probably It's a Wonderful Life, but being an animator, I thought, why not represent the medium and go with The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Okay, yeah. I think It's a Wonderful Life, Gary might have dibs on that one, actually, but as far as best Christmas movie of all time. But
yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, that's among my favorite movies of all time. So, obviously, I have that above this. I mean, we can go back to the point you made. So, Walt Disney.
Not
a single Disney musical is on this list. Yeah. So, not a single animated musical. So, none of those three are musicals.
No.
Nope.
Yeah.
Now, if we're assembling a list of top 250 movies, and you do not represent the animated musical, this is outrageous.
Yeah, I think so,
it's pretty shocking, really.
Yeah, and, I mean, where's Snow White? That's kind of an important movie.
Right, so, you know, most people would say Citizen Kane is a better movie than Snow White, but in terms of, you know, impact,
it's up there.
The idea that you can make a feature-length animated movie, musical numbers, and it could do big business and be viewed as a classic.
It seems like, yeah. Big
impact.
It seems like a major oversight. But that's for another day.
Okay.
You can do a whole series on
exactly.
The best of animation.
I think we might have to do that, as a matter of fact. But back to the topic at hand, Nightmare Before Christmas. So why specifically Nightmare Before Christmas? What is it about the movie that you think is special?
Well, first of all, it has such a terrific look visually to it that it's sort of the juxtaposition of Christmas and Halloween. It's very well crafted, and it really pops out in terms of imagery. And so I think that's one of the reasons it has such a lasting appeal, is just how well crafted it was visually. And that combined with sort of, it's really well done musical in terms of, it's just got a lot of very catchy tunes, and it has a musical number every 5 minutes or so, which to me is exactly what a musical should be. And I think those factors really come together and make just sort of a movie that stands the test of time and you can watch over and over again and never really get bored of.
Mm. Gary, how about you? How do you feel about Nightmare Before Christmas?
I like it. It's among the most visually arresting movies you'll see.
Yeah.
Now, prior to this, how many stop-motion movies were there? Feature-length.
Feature-length stop-motion movies?
I mean, there have been quite a few, but none probably as so widely released as this one. This one was one of the bigger ones, and since then we've seen a lot more.
Right. I haven't seen too many. I think I saw Coraline, mm-hmm. and I've seen a few shorts that are stop motion.
James and the Giant Peach.
Right. I've seen claymation films, right. So there was Chicken Little?
Chicken Run.
Chicken Run.
And all of the Wallace and Gromit shorts, right. And then the feature film.
Right. Now, I'm a little uncomfortable putting this up there among the elite films of all time. This is a very easily digestible movie. There's not all that much there. The tunes are catchy. This may be because of the trailer we watched as a kid that would always...
Let's talk about the trailer. So Gary and I, when we were kids, we were trying to recall which movie we had on VHS that had the trailer for Nightmare Before Christmas on it. And apparently, I think the reason this movie was so embedded in our brains is because we watched this movie that we can't recall over and over again. But prior to the actual film, the VHS had the trailer, so we'd see the Making Christmas montage over and over and over again. And apparently that's had more of a lasting impact than whatever movie it was on. But for me, this has a lot of sentimental value, but you're right, I don't know that it's necessarily a great film. But
well, it works because of, you know, so if someone told you they were making the movie, it works on the very simple level that we're going to combine Halloween and Christmas. So the premise is interesting in itself. Mm-hmm. The songs are catchy, and we're going to do it in stop motion.
Right.
So this is very effective. Now, how much beyond, and they execute it well. How much beyond that the premise does it go? There's not all that much there in the story, though one could say that for a lot of the Disney movies. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
The better ones, there's
right.
I think, more fleshed out, probably.
Yeah. I think particularly the later, the Disney Renaissance ones, I do think that Beauty and the Beast is a magnificent story, as well as being beautifully rendered. But this, the movie is structured like a children's book. I think that's intentionally so. In fact, I think Tim Burton actually thought about making it a book before...
It was originally written as a poem that he did in the early 80s. And then Disney took it from him and was going to turn it into maybe a TV special. And then he got fired, so they kind of shelved it. Then he became a big director and they picked it back up again.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I think the stop motion is so beautiful. It's beautifully rendered. The monsters and the sets all fit cohesively together. And the world feels very real. It feels very realized. And I love the... I guess the most famous stop motion artist of all time is probably Ray Harryhausen, and you can obviously see the influence there of the monsters. But that being said, this might be a case where the form totally overshadows the content to a certain extent. But Alex, do you disagree?
Not necessarily. I mean, it is very much a visual movie in terms of over a story movie. It's more made for like the extravagance of seeing these creatures come to life and seeing them sing and all that stuff. But I think in terms of like technically, I think it's a really well-made movie. There's a lot of little things that you wouldn't really think of. One of my favorites, I don't know if it was invented for this movie, but the camera moves a lot, mm-hmm. which for a stop-motion movie, especially made in the early 90s, is actually a pretty big technical achievement.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think most people think stop-motion animation, again, Ray Harryhausen... We have King Kong, we have Jason and the Argonauts, stuff like that. And this feels light years away from that and that technique, even though it is essentially the same. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about our favorite characters from the movie. Do any stand out to you particularly? Mine is the mayor. I think when
That'd
I was a kid,
too.
It was probably Zero, because it's a cute dog with no face, which is kind of miraculous that they do that. And then I think when I was a teenager, it was probably Sally. And now I think it's probably the mayor.
The mayor's just fun to, because he's so fat. And yeah. He's got this, you know, waddly style. Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of a two-faced mayor. I would not have understood that when I was a kid. It makes perfect sense, though.
I always liked the melting man.
Yes.
Just visually. He always really appealed to me. I don't know exactly how they did that, but he seemed very sticky, and I always liked watching him.
Exactly. I don't even know how they would do that, because it's frame by frame, right? And there's the liquid in the film feels like liquid, and I'm not sure how they're doing that. Do you know?
Well, I know they did some things where they, like, kind of heated that character up.
Okay.
So it looked more liquidy, but okay. I think it was still hand animated. There only was a couple of instances where you could tell that they actually had to composite in things like for fog.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, you can't animate fog. So.
Right, yeah, yeah. Clouds, and I guess
how,
the clouds were
how long does it take to make one of these?
Well, I'm trying to think. I think the production was around 3 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a while. I mean, it was even animated at 12 frames a second, which is half of what normal film is, so.
And on four different sound stages, and quite a production. And yet, somehow, it costs less money to make than Aladdin. I don't understand how that works.
Well, the convenient thing about stop motion is that you already have all the materials you need, so it's just an effort to just putting it together and making it run, whereas with, you know, you don't have to draw everything frame by frame. It takes a lot more effort.
Okay, so drawing takes more than replacing heads?
Yeah,
okay.
Considerably.
Do you want to just tell us kind of the process of stop motion animation versus hand-drawn?
Oh, sure. Well, stop motion in typical sense is they will have a puppet, usually made with some sort of metal skeleton, and then they'll put some sort of material, sometimes cloth, sometimes some sort of plastic or something, and then they'll have swappable faces or heads that they can just put on and off to make the expressions, and then they have little like hooks on the bottom of the stage where they'll put the characters on, so they'll stay in place, and then they'll animate them one pose at a time for every 12th of a second, and then that takes, so they can get through like maybe 3 seconds or so a day, depending on the scene, because some scenes have lots of characters, and then it just goes like that, and then what do you know, you have a film.
That is a remarkable thing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but it's one of the earliest form of animation, so it's, you know, it's part of film.
Right.
And then for hand-drawn, it's a little different in that you just draw out one frame, then you draw the next, and so a little more time-intensive, but it's a little easier to figure out what you're doing, because you can just draw it.
Yeah. Animation is hard, guys.
It's true, it is.
It's really hard. But let's talk more about the story itself. This is, it's a fable. It's presented as a fable. But does the story speak to you?
As a kid, it spoke to me because it was some sort of so very whimsical. But I kind of didn't, like, throughout middle school and high school, I didn't watch the movie. And rewatching it, I was trying to think, why is it so popular, even nowadays, what's the resonance it has with people? And I was thinking, I think it has to do with Tim Burton's theme of being an outsider. Mm-hmm. And that really, it's very attractive to a lot of teenagers, the Hot Topic crowd, if you will. and I thought it was very interesting, because this is one of the different cases where the main character, Jack Skellington, is very popular, mm-hmm. but at the same time, he feels like an outsider. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that can also like latch onto that idea where they have lots of friends and a good family, but they sort of feel like no one really understands them. And then the character of Sally also has a lot of fans of being sort of the outsider trying to get acceptance with people.
Right, yeah.
So those are the big themes that I think resonate throughout the ages.
Yeah. Gary, what do you think of the story?
The story's nice. I mean, picking up on those themes, one additional one is the need for something new. I mean, as far as an appeal to kids, I don't know, it may be a reminder to them that Halloween isn't everything.
I had loved this movie when I was a kid, but I really loved it in high school. And I'm not sure what it was that really drew me to the movie. I think it was purely the animation. But watching it now, I'm struck by how, I don't know, the message of the movie doesn't seem especially aligned with today's, like, child-rearing techniques or, like, child-rearing ethos. Like, it seems to be about how it seems to want to discourage kids from branching out and trying new things. I don't know. it seems to be about how, you know, you should stick to your own kind. Otherwise, things could end disastrously. That seems to me to be the message of the movie.
You could take it that way, I guess.
I'm a little hesitant about reading too much into it. I don't know that kids get any message from it. It's just because it's these people in different worlds who are...
It's just purely a cultural class. But I will say that it is an interesting message about cultural appropriation. Like, it's important to, it's essential to understand the meaning and of the rituals of other cultures. Otherwise, you are in danger of misusing those traditions and rituals, right? So that could be an interesting takeaway from the movie.
It's true. Okay.
Now, does that hold any water with you guys?
Well, I like the idea. I think it's really, never really thought about it that way. I kind of always took the movie more at face value too, but I think that's a good message that you shouldn't try to impose your own views on other people's, or otherwise you'll end up with a terrible Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was, I don't know if there's any lesson to learn, but the cause of the problems is ultimately that they didn't understand.
Right.
Now, this is a larger point with me, but ultimately, I disagree with the idea that in almost any art form that people get their values from them.
Okay. Well, I don't think you get your values from them, but I think that film reinforces values, and I think that there are themes to be mined from every single work of art. I don't think you watch. I don't think it. Otherwise, what's the point? Otherwise, it is just a formal experiment. Otherwise, you're just watching images.
Well, it's formal experiment, but I mean, if whenever a movie has a lesson to teach you, it's not important because you learn a new lesson. It's just a portrayal of something that you already knew and is appealing to you. I mean, you see this all the time when people read messages into movies or books. Or
well,
whatever.
I think usually it's whatever the artist feels like saying is sort of the message of the movie in my mind. So, I don't know about this movie in particular, but most movies, the artist has something to say, and so usually it might not be something that I agree with, but I like figuring out what they're trying to convey in their film.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't want to get too sidetracked on this light, breezy movie. but that it may be an interesting exercise, but I don't think we should ever really be concerned that people will be...
I don't think people are going to directly... Like, this is not a Bible by any means, but I just think it's more interesting to think about this. Otherwise, there's really nothing to this movie. If you don't... What is the takeaway?
Oh, I mean, this movie, so I mean, I guess it is my criticism of it. It is like sugar.
Yeah.
Like the best Christmas movies, they're just about how great Christmas is.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know. So, It's a Wonderful Life. So a lot of people consider the greatest Christmas movie. It's not about Christmas at all. It just takes place there. The lessons it teaches, you know, every person's important. You know, the relationships you keep are more important than the stuff you have. You didn't need a movie to tell you that.
Well, of course not, but it reinforces those
right.
values, yeah.
It's just a powerful portrayal of that. Now, it probably fits in with the themes people want for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Having not celebrated Christmas, I'm not certain.
It seems to be a larger trend.
I'd certainly take it to be the lesson of Hanukkah.
That's interesting. This movie, I don't know that it is. It does feel more like a Halloween movie than a Christmas movie because there isn't all that much sentimentality in it, which is something I associate with Christmas.
I usually consider it a Thanksgiving movie. Okay. I try to break it even, yeah. Sort of watch it in between the holidays.
Right.
Get most of both.
Exactly. Split the difference. That makes sense.
I would assume it draws from people's sentimentality of how excited kids are for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's just a mishmash of themes, and they just put them all together.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I like about this movie in particular is that at 75 minutes long, it's a nice, light, breezy movie you can watch 3 times in an evening if you have literally nothing to do. But it's like candy. There's not much there, and I recognize that, but it's just a visual treat, and it's just fun to see these two worlds come together. And I think the whole crux of the movie is, like, wouldn't it be funny if Halloween and Christmas got mashed up? So, like, for what it is, I love it.
Okay. So, one last question before we wrap this up. While it is directed by Henry Selick, it was written... and produced, co-written and produced by Tim Burton. And Tim Burton, as I'm sure we're all aware, has a very particular aesthetic sense and sort of just general overall macabre, gothic sensibility. I know that I loved Tim Burton as a teenager. I'm less enthusiastic about his work now as an adult, but I still appreciate those early films of his. But I would maybe just talk about Tim Burton as a filmmaker in general, how we feel about him.
Tim Burton, to me, is a director who's very dependent on the script he's given. He's a very good visual director. His films always look pretty, at the very least. But his more terrible films are so because the script is just awful. And so he doesn't really have the ability to... I don't know if he even cares. He just wants to make visual movies, which I can respect to some degree. But his best movies, like Big Fish, is probably my favorite of his. Like, okay. That script is phenomenal.
Okay. I'm more of an Edward Scissorhands kind of guy myself. But, you know, I think he's made many good films. But I think you're right that he is primarily a visual director, and that visual style, you're either going to go for it or you're going to be repulsed by it.
Well, which director is not handicapped by the script he's given?
There are some who can transcend the script, I think.
Well, there are some directors who will like rewrite scripts to fit their own need. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there's a lot of directors who, even with sort of flimsy scripts, are always sort of able to elevate the material, even with visuals.
Always? Can you name me a director who has never had a bad film?
Well, I'd say Stanley Kubrick, but that's just me.
He didn't make that many movies.
True. Yeah. He did take a while. So perhaps Kubrick is the one exception, and compared to Kubrick...
I think there are a lot of directors who may... Like, the quality of the work may vary, but I think with Tim Burton, it's also... A lot of people don't like that aesthetic. I think there's something that whole Edward Gorey meets, I don't even know, David Lynch kind of thing doesn't do it for a lot of people. I think there might be some who just see him as frivolous. And he's considered, I would call him an auteur. I think all of his films have a very specific style, and it's just a matter of whether that style appeals to you.
Right. When it matches with the right movie, Batman, I like his original Batman more than this newer series.
The Christopher Nolan ones.
I think I like the newer ones more than you do. But so I'm a fan. What movies do you like of Tim Burton?
I like Beetlejuice. I like Edward Scissorhands. I like the Batman movies. I like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
I like Sweeney Todd, actually.
Yeah, I like that one a lot, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess I like them.
Right. So that's... How many did you count there?
I like Ed Wood,
actually. You like Ed Wood?
Yeah.
So what did we have? We had 5 movies there?
I mean, that's quite a few. I like them.
How many Spielberg movies do you like?
I like a number of Spielberg movies.
Now, right now we're comparing him to the top of the profession, especially as far as popular directors. Spielberg's had movies where it didn't work out so well.
Yeah.
But Spielberg, like you were saying, he's one of those movies. He's a director where his movies usually hit, so I'm sure, like, even with sort of less good scripts, maybe it's just his choice as a director. He's just able to pick out good scripts. But he usually... is able to hit the mark when it comes to his films.
Yeah.
He really has a complete misstep. He has never made a Planet of the Apes type movie.
Oh, right. That's right.
Right. Tim Burton has made some stinkers. Like, I think Alice in Wonderland's pretty atrocious.
That movie confuses me as to why it made $1 billion.
Yeah, who was watching that? But anyway, so the songs in this are, I think, what really makes it tick. Any favorite song?
My favorite would be... Something's Up with Jack.
Okay.
My favorite thing about this musical numbers in this film is that they're all very important to the story. I know there's a lot of musicals where the songs are sort of fluff, but here, like, a lot of times Jack has really big revelations during his musical numbers, and so they give him a lot more emotional power, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, my favorites are the ones where he realizes something, like what have I done, or, what's this? Like, you see what he's thinking in music, and I always... Those are my favorite numbers of the whole movie.
Yeah, the music is definitely seamlessly incorporated. And we actually did a whole series on musicals earlier in the year. So if you like musicals, you can check out our FlixWise favorite submissions on Cabaret, West Side Story, and Swing Time.
So that's the thing about this movie is, you know, how if you're thinking about comparing it to the greats, not only do you compare it to the great Christmas movies, But musicals.
Right, yeah. It's also included among those. Yeah.
All right.
So this is a lot to live up to.
Right.
And that being said, shall we put it to a vote? Mm-hmm. Alex, do you think, since you brought it to our attention, I'm going to assume that you think that Nightmare Before Christmas is worthy of a spot on the FlixWise favorites list?
I mean, if we're talking about the top 250, maybe a little lower.
Okay.
Just because it is not the most artistic or in terms of what it's trying to say, but I think that it does so much stuff right that it's worth a spot in like the highlights of animation.
Okay. All right, Gary, how about you?
Are there movies on the list where I'd put it above that? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm sure there are plenty of movies on there where I enjoy this more than those. Other movies that are not on that list are better than this.
Okay.
Most notably, the Disney movies.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure.
This is a Disney movie, but you mean the Disney?
Is this actually produced by Disney?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was and it wasn't. Essentially, it was released by Touchstone because Disney thought it was too scary, and then they have since folded it back into a Disney picture.
Mm. Okay. I can't put it on there when all the Disney movies are off, because it's not quite on the high.
Right, the 2D, the fan-drawn.
The 2D, can't quite put it on there, but I think it deserves due credit for being a good time.
Yeah. I recommend the film. There are points in my life where I adored this movie, and my teenage self is very disappointed in my adult self, because I'm going to have to go ahead and say I don't think it quite merits a spot on the FlixWise favorites list, but it's still a really great movie. And at this point, it's got pretty good company as far as rejected FlixWise favorites submissions, because Swing Time didn't make it. So it's a pretty high bar, is what I'm saying.
Right. What other ones were rejected?
16 Candles.
Okay, all right, you were on the teen movie.
Right.
Zoolander made it, right?
Zoolander sure did.
Okay,
but that's a freaking masterpiece. And on that note, we'll close it out. And that's the way we frame it. FlixWise, that is. Do you think I'm a total Scrooge for dismissing this childhood classic? Come leave us a comment and tell me why I'm worse than old Ebenezer on our website, FlixWise.com. You can also leave us a comment on Facebook at Facebook.com/FlixWise. You can follow me on Twitter. The handle is @FlixWise. And even if you disagree with me, I hope you can find a little Christmas cheer in your heart and give FlixWise a good rating on iTunes. That'll really help fortify us against this dreary Los Angeles winter. Until next time, Alex, thank you so much for bringing us this submission.
Well, thank you for having me on. It was wonderful.
And I promise we will find another animated movie to put on our list. And Gary, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
All right. See you in 2015, everyone.
But haven't you ever heard of Peace on Earth and Goodwill Towards Men?